Okay, we're starting here on Chav Dalet Amar Aleph, 7 lines down, Amar Rav Papa. Yesterday we left off with the statement of the Gemara, Mapelet Gufatum, Eini Mot Me'aleida. Woman who has a discharge, a miscarriage of in a Gufatum, Tum meaning Satum, blocked up, but really here it means shapeless, then she's not Tumei Tumat Leida. And then the Brayta says, what is a Gufatum? Rebbe says, the amount that you take away from someone who was alive and they would no longer be able to survive. Then we had three opinions about what that meant inside Rabbi's statement. We had Rabbi Zakkai, who says that means until the Arkova, until above the knee, Rabbi Omer Adani Kavav, up to near the hip area, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Vishim Yeshua, Ad Mekom Tibro, until the belly button. And the Gemara discussed the nafkaminot between them. Now, Rav Papa comes and says something about their statement. Amra Papa, machlogim milamata lamalo. That's only if the parts that are missing from the feet upwards. Avam milamalo lamato. If you're missing from the head down, I feel kolduhu teora. Even if there was the smallest amount missing, then the woman is teora, because that's not a fetus that is viable. That's not considered to be an adam, to qualify to be a leida. So all these shiurim that we're using over here are shiurim when you're measuring from what's missing from the blood, from the bottom up. From top down, any amount would be problematic. A woman who discharges, miscarries something whose skull is atuma. Now again, atuma here usually means filled in or clogged. Over here, Rashi says atuma means it's missing. Chasera, it's not there. Then imo tehora, the mother's tehora mitumat leida, because this is not considered to be a vlad. And that accords with what Rav Papa just said, when it's missing from the top, even a kol dehu is tehora. From Giro Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amapelet kemin afakta de dikla, imo tehora. She gives birth to a vlad that looks like a palm tree, which means that it's narrow or straight at the bottom, and all its leaves are at the top, meaning that its arms and its legs are all coming out of the top of the body. She's Torah. Again, that's not classified or considered to be a vlad. Itmar. Amapelet mi shepanav musmasim. Woman gives birth to some sort of form that has a face that is pushed in or crushed. Rabbi Yochanan Amar imo tmea. Rabbi Yochanan says that that's still classified as a vlad, and therefore there is tumat leida. Shlag shamar imo tehora. The mother is Torah. Etve Rabbi Yochanan the Reish Lakish. Yochanan challenged Reish Lakish, Hamapelet Yad Chatucha, Verego Chatucha, Himot Me Aleida. She discharges an arm or a leg. The mother is considered to be Tamei Tumat Leida, because we assume that that Yad Chatucha and Rego Chatucha came from a Vlad Malia, Ben Choshishim, Shema Migufatum Bata. We don't assume that the Yad or the Rego came from a shapeless body that only had these parts in it, but we assume if it has already a shape of a Yad or Rego, the entire body has form to it. Vimita, if you are right, Reish Lakish, litnei shemem migufatum o mimish panav musmasim. There's another possibility, not just gufatum, but also panav musmasim. That's another thing maybe we should be choshesh for. They should have said, we're not choshesh for gufatum, we're not choshesh for panav musmasim. Tosos asks, we have many other types of problems that could come up. Why did they pick this? But panav musmasim is similar to gufatum. Gufatum is shapeless body. It's similar to this panamus masim, where the face has been pressed in. Amara papi, bifanamus masim, kuleyamalo pligle de tamea. Everybody agrees. Biochar and Reish Lakish both agree that when the panamus masim, when the face is pressed in, that's still considered to be a full-fledged leida. Ki pligle, where do they argue? Bifanab tuchot, when the face is completely flattened, that there is no form noticeable or recognizable anymore. So musmasim is a lighter form of tuchot. Tuchot means completely flattened out without shape, form, or anything that's recognizable. Musmasim is that it's pressed in, but there's still some sense of shape to it. Ve'ipcha itmar, and their opinions were actually the opposite. Rabbi Yochanan Amar imo teora. Yochanan says that's not classified to be a leida. Reish Lakish Amar tmeya. And Reish Lakish says that his mother is tmeya. Fadol tvei Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. Miha. Why doesn't Reish Lakish challenge Rabbi Yochanan with the same question that Rabbi Yochanan asked Reish Lakish in the previous version? Mishom deshani leg, because Rabbi Yochanan could answer Reish Lakish, Hainu gufatum, Hainu mishipanav tuchot. They're synonymous. Gufatum and panav tuchot is the same thing. It means shapeless, just different parts of the body. shapeless by the head, shapeless by the body. So therefore, he didn't challenge him from that Mishnah of Amapela Di'al Chatucha, Regel Chatucha, because he knew that Rabbi Yochanan could answer him in that manner. But above, when we challenged Rish Lakish from that, we didn't answer that by Musmasim, it's exactly like Gufatum, because that's not as extreme. Gufatum is much more extreme than Panav Musmasim, and therefore the Mishnah should have enumerated both of them if they were exceptions to the case. What's very interesting here is that the previous Gemara, when we had the positions laid out in the Itmar, then we said Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, Rish Lakish's opinion, then it says Eid Bei Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan challenged Rish Lakish directly. Now, according to the way Rav Papi is rereading the Gemara, there is no challenge. Rabbi Yochanan never said that to Rish Lakish. What happens to that question? Didn't Rabbi Yochanan ask a question to Rish Lakish? What are we going to do with that? So Tosafot says, and it's important in terms of methodology, that there was never a question. Rabbi Yochanan never asked the question of Rish Lakish. The Gemara supposes that Rabbi Yochanan would have asked Rish Lakish the question. The Gemara, after having their opinions, is reconstructing what could have been a conversation between them, but it's not really a conversation that took place between them. And that's, methodologically, it's important to know that the Gemara does that sometimes. Conversations that are taking place aren't always real conversations, but rather conversations that the Gemara feels should have taken place, or questions that should have been asked by those opinions of those parties. B'nei Rabbi Chiya Nafik L'Kiryata. The children of Rabbi Chiya went out to the city, went out to Kiryata, out to the Kamei Davun. They came back to their father. Amalem Klumba Masele Yadchem. Did you have any shilas that came by you? Amrlo Panav Tuko Panim Pucho Bali Yadenu. We had a case where there was a miscarriage with a fetus that had its face totally smushed, flattened out, unrecognizable. And we said that she's tamei tumat leida. Amalem tzu v'taru mashu tameitem. Go back and tell them that it's tahor. What are you thinking? The chumrah? You're going to call the chumrah? Chumrah data ledei kulahi. Tikavitu la yimei tohar. So you're going to say what? It's a fake. If it's a flat, it's not a flat. Machloket rochu Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. We'll be machmir and tell her that she's tamei tumat leida. The problem is that tumat leida has two tzadim to it. Up front, it's a chumrah, that she's tamei tumat leida mi safek, so that she'll have 2 weeks of tumah. That is a chumrah. But afterwards, she's gonna get 26 days of tahara, because it's safek nekeva, safek zachar. If you're gonna grant her 26 days of tahara, she's gonna see dam, and she's gonna be considered to be torah. Even though, that's really dam nida, because she was not tamei tumat leida. She says, this is a chumrah, you're right, up front it's a chumrah, but it ends up being a kul in the back end, so you have to go reverse the psak that you gave. Itmar, amapelet virya sheishla bet gabim ubet shidraot. Woman discharges, miscarries a fetus that has two backs, two spines. Amarav bisha ino vlad. By a woman, that's not classified as a vlad. Bebeima asur ba'achila. And if a beima, an animal, has such an offspring, then it is also asur ba'achila. Shmuel amar bisha vlad. By a woman it is classified as a vlad. Bebeima mutar ba'achila. And if a beima gives birth to it, it's also mutar ba'achila. But my kamiflege. What's the machlok between Rav and Shmuel here? It's Rav Chiya and Chanin bar Abba. They're arguing in this principle of Rav Chanin bar Abba, this drasha of Rav Chanin bar Abba. Amar Rav Chanin bar Abba shisu'a. In the parsha of Kashrut, over there, the Torah says that these are the animals you can't eat. Kosha inu mafresed parsa hashisu'a. So it's the hashisu'a, an animal that you can't eat? Or is it modifying the mafresed parsa beforehand? The most likely explanation is that it's modifying the mafresed parsa beforehand, just like it does by the kosher side. That has to be not only mafresed parsa, but it has to be shisu'a. It has to be cut all the way through, not just through the hoof, but all the way through the nail. Yet, you could read it, that Ashesu'ah is the first of the list of the animals that are problematic. And that's what Rav Chanan bar Abba says, Ashesu'ah, b'riya she'esh ba bet gavim bet shidraot. So the Torah says that this is one of the animals that you can't eat. This Shesu'ah. So Rav Amar, b'riya b'alma leta. It doesn't exist. This animal doesn't exist because it's not a viable entity at all. Chagrame rachmano le Moshe. So then when the Torah told Moshe that you may not eat such an animal, that's within the womb it's talking about it. Because if you shech the kosher animal, you open up the animal, and inside the womb there's a fetus. The fetus is kosher. So here, Rav is saying, not only is it not a vlad in terms of leida, so for a woman it won't be classified as leida. For a beima, if it gives birth to it, it's not viable, so you can't eat it. It's a nevela. But even if you find it inside the animal after you've shechted it, you may not eat it. And that's the din that we learn out of Shisua of Rav Chanan bar Abba. So that's according to Rav. Shmuel Amar Birya be'alma ito. There is such a Birya, it is a viable entity. If it's born, it will survive. So when the Torah Kaza says it's asur to eat a shisua, that's only when it's roet avir olam, when it's outside the mother. If it's born, then it's asur. If it's inside the mother's womb, you shech the animal, you find it inside, that you may eat. That's Shmuel's opinion. Shmuel's opinion is, number one, it's a viable entity. Number two is it's a full-fledged leida. Number three is the Torah only asked eating such an animal, this shisua, when it's outside of the mother's womb. But inside of the mother's womb, that is mutar b'achila. So that's machlok between Rav and Shmuel. Eitave Rav Simi bar Chia l'Rav. So Rav Simi bar Chia challenged Rav. Chia is the son of Rav. That makes Rav Simi the grandson of Rav. So Rav's grandson challenged him and says, Chenina ben Antigonus Sumer, kol sheish bolo bet gabin u'shnei shidrot, pasul li'avodah. That anything that has two backs, two spines, pasul li'avodah, alma dechaye. From that you can infer that it's able to live. Machloket Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam had explained this. Rashi says it's referencing behemot. It's talking about a bechor. Bechor behema, that is born like this, is pasul le'avodah, does not go on the mizbeach. It's an automatic mum. It's an automatic mum that makes it pasul le'mizbeach, and it goes to the kohen. The kohen can eat it as a bechor ba'mum. He doesn't have to bring it up to the mizbeach. So again, Amudachai, you can see from this that it's a viable entity because you have a Bechor Balmum that has this. That's the way Rashi reads it. Rabbeinu Tam, on the other hand, says, Pasul di Avodah, terminology is not so great. Pasul di Avodah is something usually referencing the Kohen. Kohen is Pasul di Avodah. A Bechor is a Mum. That's Posel Min HaMizbeach. It's not Pasul di Avodah. Pasul di Avodah is referencing a Kohen, and therefore he's saying here that he's talking about a Kohen Balmum. That coin that has this is classified as a Baal Mum, and he may not perform a Voda. But again, Alma Dechaye. If in Bechorot, Mechanin Ben Antukinus is telling you that a coin that has this Mum may not serve in the Mikdash, that tells you that this is a viable entity. Somebody can have this and be alive. So that's the question on Rav. Rav's opinion is that these entities are not viable whatsoever. And therefore, the question is directed at Rav. We have Mechanin Ben Antukinus indicating here that they are viable entities. According to Rabbeinu Tam, the question is directed at Rav alone. Because Shmuel says that you can have a Leida, and you do have a viable entity, so it's not a question for Shmuel. So that's Rabbeinu Tam's reading, that the question is from Rav's grandson to Rav himself. Rashi says that the question is also on Shmuel. It's not just on Rav, it just was directed at Rav because it was his grandson who was asking it. So he directed it towards Rav's opinion. But this is a problem for Shmuel's opinion as well, because over here it says that it's a Bechor Pasul Avodah. That's a Bechor Baal Mum. Almo Dechaye means that by Hejot it'll be Mutar. The only problem here is because it's a Bechor. Had it been a Hejot, had it been a regular animal, no problem, you could have eaten it. Now that becomes a problem for Shmuel as well. Because even Shmuel agrees, according to Rav Chanan bar Abba, that it's such an animal that is born, you may not eat. That is the shisua, and you may not eat it. Over here, the implications from Bechanina ben Antigonus are that you could eat it. So Rashi claims the question is not only on Rav, but also on Shmuel. Whereas Rabbeinu Tam says the question is solely on Rav. So Amalei, Simi at? Rav responds to him, is that Simi? So Rashi brings down different interpretations of this. He brings three, he rejects two of them. One of them was that Rav was very tzanua, and he didn't look up, he was always looking down, so he didn't know who was addressing him. And so he was saying, Simiat, is that you, Simi, my boy? Is that you? Rashi says he doesn't think that's right, because we only find Rav saying that with Simi. Nowhere else, no other conversation that Rav has in Shas, do we ever see him asking who the other party is. Only when it comes to Rav Simi or Simi bar Chia does he ever say this. That's one possibility. The second possibility is, based on the Gemara in Moed Katan, that Rav was afraid of Simi asking him questions, and therefore he said, Simi, that's you again? Simi? Uh-oh. He's asking very hard questions. Rashi also rejects that, because in the Gemara in Moed Katan, it's Rav Simi bar Ashi. Over there, it's another Simi. It's not Simi bar Chia. And therefore, it's not a good explanation. Rashi goes with the last explanation, which it was a term of endearment. It was his grandson. So therefore he says, V'nir b'einai mishum de bar b'rehava. He was his grandson. Karmelei, halkei mishum chavivutei. Because of his endearment, his love for him, he said this, Klamar atayudei ala shiveini. Saying, I don't know if he was saying, good question? It could be in both directions. It could be that he's saying to him, you always know how to get a good question on me. And he's complimenting him. Even though it wasn't a good question, he was just giving him a compliment. Or, he could have been saying to him, you know better. To me, you know, you're my grandson, you know better than that. You know, this isn't a strong question, give me a better one. So either way, it was a term of endearment that he was directed towards his grandson. And now, he says the answer, which is, Shishadirato Akuma. We're talking about Shnei Gabin, or Shnei Shidrot, and Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus' case. That's not the case that Rav and Shmuel are arguing about. Rather, Rav says that's a different case. It's a case where he's a hunchback, where his spine goes in two directions. It's bent over. It's bent over so much that it looks like there's a horizontal spine and a vertical spine. So that's the answer to the question, and that's what he says to him. I said, It goes, Shimiat, Shishidrato Akuma. It's a simple answer. Here's the answer to your question. So either you're saying to him, good question, and here's the answer, or that's not a big deal. Here's the answer to your question. There are certain times that a fetus is problematic. Fetus is not considered something to be that you, something you can eat. Ben arba ala daka, ben shmona la gasa. 4 month old fetus in a behema daka, a light animal, smaller type of animal, and ben shmona la gasa, 8 month old fetus inside of a behema gasa. Hamenu lamata asur. Anything below that amount is asur. Yotza mi sheish lo shnei gabin shnei shidrot. That excludes something that has two backs and two spines. Ma yatza? What does it mean yatza? Lav yatza michlal ubarin. It's not within the world of ubarim. Shafelu b'mei yiman asurim. Even inside of the mother, internally, they'd be asur. What this Braita is suggesting over here is something that we know already from the Gemara and other places with regards to human beings. The Gemara believes that fetus that is born after 9 months is viable. Fetus that is born after 7 months is viable. Fetus that is born in the 8th month is ge'evin. Was not a viable entity. It was dead on arrival. So the same thing here. The Chachamim is suggesting the full gestation of a daka would be 5 months. Full gestation of a gasa would be 9 months. So here you have a fetus that is less, a month less than it's supposed to be. So just like by a human being, when it's born in the 8th month and not the 9th month, it's not considered to be a viable entity. So too over here. These animals that are born in the 8th month or the 4th month are not viable entities. The asur mishum nevela, you may not eat them. On the other hand, if you shech the behema and you find inside of it a fetus, 8-month-old fetus, or a 4-month-old fetus, that you can eat because it's behema inside the animal. Then we have the statement in the Braita that says, yatza comes to exclude a case of two backs and two spines. So the Gemara assumes now that that means what does it mean exclude? It's excluded from this totally. Not only is it asur when it's born, it's also asur inside of its mother. Who does that sound like? That sounds like Rav and not Shmuel. So this is really a kasha on Shmuel. In the end, Rav is also going to answer the question. Rav does not have to answer the question because it's a question on him. Rav just comes to explain what seems to be a very difficult lashon in the Braita. And that's what the Gemara says here. Rav mitaretz l'tamei, Shmuel mitaretz l'tamei. Rav mitaretz l'tamei Rav, again, who it's not a question on him, but he wants to straighten out this Braita, says, ben arba ala daka ben ched gasa hemen ulamata asur. That when it comes to a 4-month-old or an 8-month-old fetus, or anything below that, they are considered to be asurim. If they're born, you may not eat them. Ra bamed varmamurim kishiyatza lavir olam. That's only if it's born already. Aval be'mei imo shari. If it's still inside the mother, then it's mutar. Yatza mishish lo shnei gabin shnei shirot afilu be'mei imo nami asur. But then it comes to exclude a case of two backs or two spines that even in utero it's problematic. That's Rav l'shita to. So that's how Rav fixes the Lashon HaBraita. Again, the Braita already was very much the way the Gemara had read it before was like Rav's opinion. He's just Betzachtecha Lashon. He's cleaning up the language of the Braita so it reads a little easier. It still accords with his opinion. Ushmuel mitaretz lutamei. And Shmuel explains according to his Shita. Bein arba l'daka bein shmona l'gasa. Himenu l'mata asur. And we're talking about a 4-month-old and an 8-month-old that are born That number and below is asur. But man, during Mamurim Mishalo Kalulo Chadashav. That's it if it didn't come to full term. Aval Kalulo Chadashav, Mutar. If it comes to a full term, then it's Mutar. Yotza Mishishlo Bet Gamim Vet Shidrot. That comes to exclude something that has two backs or two spines. Davakab the Kalulo Chadashav, even though it's reached the point where Kalulo Chadashav, Im Yatzalav Yerolam Asur. It's still asur if it's born. Sorry, but if it remains in utero, then it is mutar. And again, that's the shita Shmuel. Shmuel shita, that only when it's outside of the mother is it classified as being a nevela or problematic. It's considered a shisua. Whereas when it's inside, in utero, it's mutar, yaday, the mother. Tani tana kameh the Rav. Someone brought a braita before Rav. Hamapelet biryat guf she'eno chatuch. A woman who miscarries, discharges something that is a body that does not have chatuch. Here means cut, but means shape to it. It's like a big flat board, as Rashi says. There is no distinction in terms of ibarim in this guf. Ubiriyat rosh eino chatuch, or a face that has no features to it, no shape to it. Yochol dei mo tmea leida. You would think that a woman is tmea leida for this. Talmud Omar, isha ki tazria v'yalda zachar. So that's the beginning of Parshat Tazria. It's talking about there about Tumat Leida. It also happens to mention that on the 8th day you get a Brit Milah. 7 days she is Tmea for Zachar. On the 8th day you get a Brit Milah. Mi Shira'ui Lebrit Shmona. It has to be, the entity that is born has to be viable. And Ra'ui Lebrit Shmona. Yatsu'e Lushenim Ra'ui Lebrit Shmona. Comes to exclude these types. A case of a goof. But that's not mechutach, or roshenu mituchutach, which is not really the brit, it's not a viable entity. And therefore, just like it cannot have a brit milah, it also is not mitameh, tumat, leida. But to be honest with you, this is a very high threshold, because before we saw, if it has half the features of a human face, if it has this, that, whatever it is that we had, all these other thresholds that make it into a leida, over here, Rav's saying that it has to be viable enough that it would make its way to a Brit Milah, that it would be able to have a Brit Milah. Now, whether he means literally that it could make it to a Brit Milah, or something that looks like this would make it to a Brit Milah, that's a question, but it's still a very, very high threshold. So then Rav says to them, Amar Lei Rav, Siem Bahochi. That's not the whole Braita. You have to add on an ending to the Braita, which is, V'sheyesh lo shnei gabim, v'shnei shidrot. That not only is this true by Gufo Atum, or Rosho Atum, it's also true by two backs and two shidrot. This is Rav Lishitato. That Shnei Shidrot or Shnei Gabin is not considered to be a Leida whatsoever. And therefore he says that should be included in this list of the Braita. A body that has a shapeless body, a shapeless head, and an entity that has two backs and two spines. Rabbi Yirmiyahu ba Abba Sabra Meved Uvda Kaveta de Shmuel. Rabbi Yirmiyahu ba Abba wanted to paskin a case where you had the Shnei Shidrot or Shnei Gabin like Shmuel. Amalei Ravuna Matatech L'chumra. What do you think? You're going to go to Chumra? You're going to paskin the Chumra over here like Shmuel and say it's a Leida so that you'll have 2 weeks of Tumah? Chumra, that's a Leida Kulahu. Again, similar to what we saw earlier in the Daf, that's a Chumra that ends up being a Kula. Because yes, you'll give her 2 weeks of Tumah, but you're also going to give her 26 days of Tehara. And that is a Chumra may be the day Kula to give you Leida Tovar. Avid miyak avatid Rav, but you should be passing like Rav anyway. Forget about the chumra kula, you should be passing like Rav anyway. The kaim alone, because we have a mesora, hilchotok Rav, isure. Allah is always like Rav when it comes to isurim, ben the kula, ben the chumra. Irrespective of whether Rav is the chumra or the kula, the Allah is like him in isurim, and this is isur. So the Allah should be like Rav over here, and therefore it's not, should not be classified as a leida. You should have paskin that it's not a leida, even though it's the kula, or in your eyes it would have been the kula. Amar Rava, Hare Amru, Isha Yoledet Letisha V'Yoledet Leshiva. So I mentioned before, that a woman can give birth to a fetus that is 9 months old and 7 months old and it'll be viable, whereas at 8 months it's problematic. But you see that a woman has two terms. She has a term of 7 months and a term of 9 months. Behema gasa yoledet letisha. We said before, we saw that a behema gasa gives birth at a 9 month gestation. Yoledet leshiva lo. Here, the lashon gemara is very difficult. It should be yoledet leshiva lo yoledet. But it's yoledet leshiva lo yoledah. Does she give birth at seven or not? I mean, the same thing that we have by human beings, that there are two periods of gestation that make a viable entity, 9 and 7, Is that true by Behema Gasa? Does it also have that 7-month gestation or only the 9-month gestation? Some Rav Nachum Yitzchok Tashma. We just had the bright at the bottom of the previous Amud that said 8 months, Vehemenu Lamata. 8 months and lower, Asur. If a Behema is born that is 8 months or less, you can't eat it. It's considered to be an Avela. My love, a Gasa. It's modifying the Gasa in the Braita. That means the, anything that's 8 months or younger is not good. Lo adaka. It's going on the Behema Daka. That means anything that's 4 months or younger is not good. Hi, my. That doesn't make so much sense. How could you say that? Iyamart Bishlama Gasa. If it's modifying the Behema Gasa, it's trich. You're telling me something new. That I would have thought, just by a woman, 9 months is good. By Behema Gasa, 9 months is good. By a woman, 7 months is good. I would have thought by Behema, the same is true, that 7 months is good. Kamash Malan, Delochai. That's what the Bright is coming to teach us. That 8 months and lower, problematic. Problematic because it's not viable. So that's why I would have a half a minute to say it's viable. That's what the Bright that comes to say no. It's not viable. It's not considered to be an Avela. Oh, Yamarta, Dakai Itmar. If you say that, that modification of that number and below is only referencing the Daka, Pshita. That's obvious. Under 4 months of gestation means that it's a 3-month gestation. There's nothing that has a 3-month gestation and lives. It's truch. Gemara says, no, I do need it. Sakadat chamina, everything is proportional. Anything that is 2 months below the normal gestation survives. So by a woman, 9 months, 7 months. By a behema gasa, 9 months, 7 months. By a behema daka, 5 months, and 3 months. So it's just this, it's this last month, that middle month between the last, final month and the one before is problematic, but the one before and the one afterwards is good. So that would have worked. Kamashman, that's not the case. That by Behema Daka, only at 5 months is it viable. 4 and below, it's not considered to be viable. So therefore, that Braita will not be an answer to this question of Wurova, to whether a Behema Gasa at 7 months has the same dim as an Isha at 7 months. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Hamapelet dmut lilit. Someone who discharges, miscarries, something of the shape of a lilit. Lilit is a shade or sheda. It's a woman, a sheda. It's mentioned in other places in the Midrashim that she was a seducer of men. This sheda that she's found in the red clothes of women that attract men. But this give birth to something that looks like a shade. Imot mea leida. That is considered to be a leida. Vladu. El sheish lo knafayim. It's a real Vlad, just has wings. As Rashi explains, Shedim look like human beings, they just have wings. Therefore, you have a Vlad here, just a Vlad plus, Vlad with wings on it. And therefore, it's considered to be a Leida, and she's Tameh Tumat Leida. Tanya Nami Ochi, we have a Braita that supports that. Amar Rav Yossi Maseh B'Simoni, place called Simoni, Bechat She'Pila Dmut Lilit, that she miscarried something that looked like a Lilit, Uba Maseh Lefnei Chachamim, Amru Vladu, Hashesh Lokofayim. That is considered to be a Vlad, that is a Leida, it just has wings. Hameh Pelet, Dmut Nachash, a woman who miscarries something that looks like a snake. Hora Chanina ben Achiv shel Rabbi Yossi. Chanina, who was the nephew of Rabbi Yoshua, Imot Tmeya Leida. That is considered to be a Leida, and the woman is Tmeya. Halach Rabbi Yosef is Sipir Dvarim Lifnei Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Yosef reports this incident to Rabbi Gamliel, who's the Nasi. Shalach lo, Rabbi Yoshua, haneg ben achicha ubo. As Rabbi Gamliel sends to Rabbi Yoshua, you get together with your nephew and you come up here. Meaning that Rabbi Gamliel saw Rabbi Yeshua as being responsible for his nephew, and therefore Rabbi Gamliel wanted them to come up to him to clear up the psak here. That is, obviously he was making a mistake, Rabbi Yeshua and his psak. I mean, the nephew of Rabbi Yeshua is making a mistake, and therefore he wanted the nephew and Rabbi Yeshua to come up in order to correct this problem. Vali chatan, on their way up, Yatzta Kalat Rabbi Chanina. Likrato, on the way up to Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua and his nephew bump into the daughter-in-law of Rabbi Chanina. She's coming out to greet them, Amralo. She says to Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi, I'm a pelet kamin nachash mahu. She asked the exact question. A woman who miscarries something that looks like a snake, what's the din? Amrala imo teora. He says to her, the mother is teora, against his nephew. That would be like what Rabbi Gamliel was trying to suggest, and that's against the psak of his nephew. Amrala, valo mishmecha amrali chamuti. Didn't I hear in your name from my mother-in-law, Imo Tmeya, I heard from my mother-in-law that you had said that it is Tmeya, that it's problematic. Vamrla Mezutam. What was the reason? What was the reason given? Hoyo Vigalgal Ino Agul Shugel Adam. We saw this yesterday. Because it has an eye socket that is similar to that of a human being. Or that it has a pupil that is similar to a human being's eye. Mitoch Dvareha Niskar Rabbi Yeshua. From what she now reported as part of this story, Rabbi Yeshua now triggered his memory. Shalach lo Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Yeshua sends up to Rabbi Gamliel, Mipi Hora Chanina. So he says that this psak came from me. Because we just had over here that Rabbi Chanina, the nephew of Rabbi Yeshua, paskined, and she says that psak came from Rabbi Yeshua. And after she explained it, Rabbi Yeshua remembers that that's right. That Rabbi Chanina, when he gave that psak, that was from me. And that is the right psak. He says, no need for me to come up to you, Rabbi Gamliel. My nephew is not wrong. His psak is in accordance with what I said also. It should be that a young whippersnapper, Talmud Chacham, when he says something, say the reason that he's given the psak. Because they remind him, he'll remember. So over here, Rabbi Yeshua gave a psak when he was younger. He is older, he doesn't remember the psak at all. But when the daughter-in-law of Rabbi Chanina comes and reminds him of the psak and gives him the reason for the psak, he remembers what he had said earlier in his life. That's because when he gave the psak, he gave the reason. He gave the reason all along that, Pnei Sheino, Domeh La Adam, because the eye of the snake is similar to Adam. And when she reminded him of that, the whole thing came back to him. That's what Abai says. Whenever you give a psak, you should make sure to give the reason with the psak, so that later on, if they tell you, you'll remember why you gave such a psak. And it'll trigger the memory, or it'll help you to remember why and in the context in which it was said. All right. Next Mishnah. I'm a pellet, shvir, male, mayim. A woman gives birth to a sack or a skin that is full of water, male dam, full of blood, male gununim, full of different colors, ena chosheshet levlad, that is not classified as a vlad or as a birth. Vimayam rukam, if it already has some sort of shape of a varim, Teshev lezachar nekeva. Then she has to sit chumra lezachar nekeva, because it's a vlad, but we don't know whether it's a male or a female. It means 2 weeks of tumah and 26 days of tahara. Mapelet sandal. Woman who miscarries a discharge of something that looks like a sandal, which means a flattened out vlad. Oshilya. Or an afterbirth, the placenta. Teshev lezachar nekeva. She has to sit for zachar nekeva. With the shilya, we've seen this before, ain't shilya below vlad. A shilya is only discharged when there is a vlad. It's a siman le vlad. And since there's a vlad here, she has to sit for zachar nekeva because we don't know what the vlad is. But the case of sandal, we had the case of sandal yesterday. I didn't mention this was sandal, but Rashi explains yesterday and again today that a sandal, a smushed fetus, is caused by having twins. There are two fetuses in there. One of the fetuses crushed the other fetus, smushed it. And that's why you have a sandal. Plus, there's another viable vlad that is born. Yesterday we had this, that amapil mine sandal is tamei tumat leida. Over here, also, she is tamei tumat leida, she has to be yoshev lezachar nekeva. And that really depends on what the other fetus is. She has twins in here. One of them is flattened out, the other one is a full-fledged birth. If the other one is a nekeva, there's nothing to talk about. Then she's Yoshev Nekeva, irrespective of the sandal. The sandal doesn't do anything for her. Because she's already doing 2 weeks of Tumah, another 66 days of Tahara, and Zachar is subsumed in that. So the sandal becomes irrelevant if the twin that is born is a Nekeva. On the other hand, if the twin that is born is a Zachar, then the sandal becomes relevant because the sandal could have been a Nekeva. And if that's the case, she has to be Yoshevet the Chumrah on both sides. She's Yoshevet Nekeva, because of 2 weeks of Tumah. Yoshevet Zachar, because she definitely had a Zachar, and we don't know what this sandal is, so it could have been a Zachar as well, and she'll have 33 days of Tahara. Now, because she's doing 2 weeks of Tumah, she'll only have 26 days of Tahara. So that's why it's Yoshevet Zachar Nekeva, by the case of sandal. Bishlama damu mayim lo klumi. I understand why when you have a sphere that has water or blood in it, it's nothing. Ela gimunim, when it has all these different colors in it, nechush, Shema Vlad Hava. Maybe it was really a fetus. Vinimach. And it dissolved somehow. It dissolved inside of the sack. And it was once a viable entity or a viable fetus. It's an exaggeration, a lashon of tmiya. How much undiluted wine did his mother drink that it drowned him and somehow dissolved him inside of her? And that seems like a far-fetched explanation for this sack that has these colors in it. Rav Amar, maleitznan. Mishnah gives you the answer because it says, malei, it's full. V'mita dit muche itmach. It's true that it dissolved, mechzer chaser, it should be missing something. The fact that it's completely full of these colors means that it couldn't have been a Vlad beforehand, because if it was a Vlad, then there'd be something missing. There should be some siman of a deficiency over here. V'adar b'avarmar gvanim t'nan. It says different colors. V'imita de mucha itma kula b'chad gavna avikoi. Should have been one color. If it was really a Vlad, it should have all been a very similar type or a similar type of color. Multiple gvanim, many colors, is not an indication of a Vlad, because that wouldn't be the product of a dissolved Vlad. Tanya. Abba Shul Omer Kover Meiti Meiti. I was a grave digger. I was a burier of the dead. I used to look at the bones of those that passed away that I was burying. And I have this conclusion. Hashute Yayin Chai, person who drinks undiluted wine, Atzmutav Srufim. His bones look burnt. Mazug, person who drinks wine that is diluted. Here mazug means over-diluted, very diluted wine. Atzmutav Sikuyin. His bones are either, Rashi says, black or missing their marrow. They're dried out. They don't have the marrow in them. Kira'uli, if you drink wine properly, properly diluted, atzmutav mishuchin, his wonderful bones, mishuchim over here mean oiled, but it means they have marrow, or they have the proper white color. Anybody who drinks more than they eat, atzmutav srufim, the bones look burnt. Eats more than he drinks, atzmutav sikuyin, again, the bones are dried out, don't have marrow to them. Kira'uli, person who eats properly, which means 50% drinking and 50% eating, atzmutav mishuchim, he has good bones, white bones with marrow in them. Tosafot ask over here, that's not the case. We know that derech achilat v'imirubay al shtiyah. It's normal to eat more than you drink. So he says over here that Abba Shaul is talking about extremes. Not about where you deviate a little bit from the 50-50 mark. That's fine. If you just eat without drink or very little drink, or you just drink without very little eating, that's what he's talking about. Those are the extreme cases. He's not talking about it has to be absolutely or it must be 50-50. Even though the Gemara in other places does mention that it's proper for a person to have a third of his consumption be drink, a third of his consumption be eating, and a third to leave empty, that he should never be very full. So there it sounds like it's an even number. It also again says it's not exactly. It doesn't mean to have exactly that. It means that two-thirds should be made up of drinking and eating, not that it's a third and a third. Tanya, Abba Shul Omer, V'item Rabbi Yochanan, Kover Meitim Haiti. I was a burier of the dead. Pam Achad Ratzti Achar Tzvi. One time I was running after a deer. V'nichnasti B'kulyat Shomit. And I ran into the hip bone of someone who was dead. Ratzti Achav Shlosh Parsot. And I kept running for three parsot inside of this. Utzvi Lo Yigati. And I never caught up with this deer. B'kulyat Lo Kaltan. And I still didn't reach the other end of this bone. So I backtracked. Amruli, they told me, Shal Og Melech HaBashan Aita. And when you went into this bone, that was the bone of Og Melech HaBashan. That's why it was so big, and that's why you couldn't get out the other end of it. Tanya, Abba Shaul Omer, Kover Meitim Haiti, I was a burier of the dead, a grave digger, Pamachad Nifticha Me'ara Tachtai. I was digging, and all of a sudden, it collapsed, and it was a cave under me. Vamati begalgol eno shomet. And I was sitting inside of the eye socket of a mate, ad chotmai. And that reached, when I was in the eye socket, and I was sunk in there, it reached all the way up to my nose. Shechazarti l'achorai, when I scrambled out of there, amru, ayin shel Avshalom haita. This was the eye of Avshalom. B'shemet tomar Abba Shaul nanas hava. Maybe Abba Shaul was a midget. So this knows, what's the chiddush over here? That he was standing up to his nose inside of the eye socket because he was a small guy. So Abba Shaul Aruch B'doro Haiva. He was the tallest in his generation. Now the Gemara is going to go through a whole list of these, and it's clear here that doesn't literally mean height. Rabbi Tarfon Magiel Ketefo. Abba Shaul was the tallest in his generation, and Rabbi Tarfon only reached up to his shoulder. Here Rabbi Tarfon Aruch B'doro Haiva. Tarfon was the tallest in his generation. Rabbi Meir Magiel Ketefo. Rabbi Meir only reached up to his shoulder. Rabbi Meir Aruch B'doro Haiva. Rabbi Meir was the tallest in his generation. For Rabbi Magiel Ketefo. And Rabbi only reached up to his shoulder. Rabbi Aruch b'Doravo, Rabbi Chia Megillah K'tefal, and Rabbi Chia, his Talmud, only reached up to his shoulder. Chia Aruch b'Doravo, Rav, Talmud, Megillah K'tefal, only reached up to his shoulder. Rav Aruch b'Doravo, Rav was the tallest in his generation, Rabbi Yehuda, who's his Talmud, Megillah K'tefal, reaches up to his shoulder. Rabbi Yehuda Aruch b'Doravo, Rabbi Yehuda was the tallest in his generation, V'ad Adayla, Megillah K'tefal. And this person, Ada Daila, is Shimesh Rabbanan. Ada is his name. Daila means that he's drawing the water, and that he was Mishamesh Tamidei Chachamim. He reached until the Ktefo, the shoulder of Rabbi Yehuda. Parsh Tevina de Pumpadaita, Kailela Ada Daila Ad Palge. The Parsh Tevina, Rashi says, is the name of a person. In Pumpadita, he only reached up to the halfway mark on Ada Daila. And the remaining people in the world only reach until to the hips or the loins of the Parshtavina of Pumbedita. On the other hand, Tosafot explains that the Parshtavina over here is not a name of a person, because then it should have said Parshtavita de mi Pumbedita. It was from Pumbedita. What does it mean? De Pumbedita, of Pumbedita. So he says Parshtavina means Parnasot u'memshala, the big guns, the gvirim of Pumbedita, only reached until the halfway mark on Ada Daila. So you see from here that it's clear that they don't mean this literally, that the tallest in the generation only reached the shoulder, because basically what you have here is a list of Rebbe Talmud. So it's talking about the Mesorah, the passing of the Mesorah. Again, you could be talking about Nitzma'et Adorot, the idea that every generation we are in a decline because we're further away from Sinai, further away from the Mesorah. And this is being described over here, that the Talmid only reaches up to the shoulder of the previous generation or to his Rabbi. The other thing we have to discuss is the idea of this being the thigh of Og Melech HaBashan and the eye of Avshalom. So we know that Avshalom was Yafam. He was a beautiful person. The Navi describes him as being beautiful. And he was Chomeid. In many senses, he was Chomeid the Melucha. He wanted to be or usurp David's position as the king. So that's over here is described as the eye of Absalom. He fell into the eye of Absalom. It was massive. What do you mean massive? It was that eye that caused him his downfall. Og Melech Bashan gets into two issues. One is, according to Chazal Vayavol Palit, that he ran to Abraham to tell him about Lot. There the Midrash assigns to him evil plans or evil intentions, that he wanted to get rid of Avram to marry Sarah. And later on, in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, we find that Moshe fights Og Melech HaBashan. Over there we also have the Midrash that Moshe was 10 amot tall. He had an axe that was 10 amot tall, and that he was only able to chop into the Akev, into the heel of Og Melech HaBashan, and he killed him there from the ankle, from the heel. So we know that Og Melech HaBashan, the heel, the leg, was something that was significant, both from the issue by Vol Palit, as well as over here, by the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe kills him in the leg or in the leg because Og Melech HaBashan, Yatzal Likrato, comes out to battle, even though Moshe offers him a possibility of peace and allowing Bnei Israel to go through, he nevertheless comes to the border and fights with them, and he does again something wrong with his leg. And therefore, you find the thigh is the thing that he was running through of Og Melech HaBashan. Okay, we'll stop over here.